the meeting of March 14th, 2023. The meeting is called to order at 7:03. Get a roll call, Chase.
Austin?
Here.
Helen? Amy?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
Marisa?
Here.
Arlene?
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. First, on the first order of business is the approval of agenda. At this time, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Do we need to make changes? I know I already have to take that up.
We'll amend it to remove.
So
we'll entertain a motion to adopt the March 14th. March 14th, 2023 agenda, removing new business. Number one, donation request for the Sandpoint NYO.
Also removing number three.
Removing new business number three, Harbor Lot Lease.
I'd like a motion.
I'll second.
Motion by Austin. Second by Marisa. Get a roll call, please. Jade?
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. At this time, are there any public comments on agenda items? All right, hearing none. Move on to the consent agenda. There's one item. The consent agenda is the minutes of the regular meeting of February 14th, 2023. Has everyone had a chance to read over the minutes? And are there any corrections? If not, we'll entertain a motion to adopt the minutes of February 14th, 2023.
Make a motion to adopt the minutes of regular meeting February 14th, 2023.
Motion by Arlene. You have a second? By Amy. Roll call, please, Jade.
Austin?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. We'll move on to report. And the first is with Finance Officer Curtis Gunderson.
Good evening. January Rawfish tax the city received $19,465.94, and sales tax revenue the city received $59,987.67.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. Any questions or comments for Curtis? All right. Hearing none at this time. Thank you, Curtis. We'll move on to the next report, which is the administrator report with Jordan Keeler.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, staff members, audience. So that's a fairly in-depth report, so I kind of want to go over some highlights of it. I did attend the Board of Fish meeting. I was there for several days. Did give oral testimony on behalf of the city, mostly as related to the impact that any reduced fishing time would have on the city's finances. I talked about the bonds the city's issued to finance infrastructure in the community, mostly fishing-related, and the impact that having reduced fishing time would be detrimental in the city's ability to pay back that debt. I sent our CTP and TAP applications, those are for the road bridge and footbridge, over to Municipal League's contracted grant writers. They take it back with some suggestions. I adopted those. That's over to our regional Department of state. CAPSIS is the program that communities can use to request capital projects. There hasn't been much movement on the capital budget yet, and that usually we don't know the result of that until July 1. Whether or not there even is a capital budget, let alone any projects that we submit would be included. I just speak with the Denali Commission grant representative about their upcoming funding request period. That's due the 14th. We touched on that a bit later on. I did attend Swampsea and acted as the city's representative for the business meeting. While there, I ran into Brian Golden, who mentioned they had a big announcement coming up next week, and we've kind of been hearing that for a while now, but it did come out last week that Ocean Airways, the former Saabs used by Penn Air, will be starting service to Sandpoint in a triangle route effective May 1st. The price seems to be about on par with the Raven, although I would note right now they do provide one free bag per ticket. That's nice. After going over the development permit that was submitted last month by GCI for their AU fiber project, I spoke with Unalaska, who is currently working through some teething issues with GCI as they install fiber in Unalaska. And I did then contact GCI to some follow-up questions, and the results of that are come up to the memo further down the packet. I submitted the general liability forms. The city has to send it every year for our insurance. So we get our insurance through AML, GIA, the Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Association. Technically, it's in a liability pool, not insurance. I'm not clear on the difference. But the point is, we do expect our premiums to go up 15 to 20%. We got written notice of that back December or January. So we won't have it. Sometime until May, which is kind of when we get it usually. One thing to look at moving forward is allocating our insurance costs to each department, because right now all the insurance, liability insurance at least, that expenditure does come from the general fund, but the liability insurance covers all areas of city operation. We did get our DEC best practices score, DEC, which is some other agencies, it's a scoring metric they've developed to assess the operational capability, sustainability, financial wherewithal of water services for smaller communities across the state. We scored 72, which is up quite a bit from the previous one. I believe we can still do better in their metric, which I'll be happy to provide a copy of. It talks about how the city doesn't have a budget, but then in the next column it talks about how we're not following our budget. So I'm not quite clear on how that score is updated. I do know that each point of contact at RUBA, the Rural Utility Business Advisors, but through the state's Department of Commerce and Economic Development, has quite a few communities they deal with. So errors happen, but it's much better. Much better score than last time. On Dillon's end, operational end, very good. So it's more of a bookkeeping issue, a paperwork issue, but I don't think it's nearly to the extent I think it is. But still approved. I did attend the Ocean East Borough's annual planning meeting where they review their upcoming priorities for the fiscal year that starts July 1. And then the deadline to apply for the Ocean East Borough's Community Assistance Request program is tomorrow. Per last conversations we had, I did submit paperwork for funding to put towards a new incinerator. However, that was done before we received the news from Paul Farmer Tribe. So, if council would like, I can go ahead tomorrow and change that out and put in funds for a new trash truck, garbage truck. It's not a long application. It's 5 minutes. So based on a quick summary, quick budget breakdown, nothing too lavish. So that is what I have to report this month, and that I will be attending the Northwest Managers Conference in Fairbanks the last full week of this month. that Tuesday through Friday. I received a scholarship from the Alaska Municipal Management Association, so there will be no financial outlay required from the city. It's the Northwest Managers, so it's the managers for county, boroughs, city, town, whatever, you know, social subdivision, for Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. That's the home of Fairbanks this year. And as manager of the Municipal Management Association for the state, I kind of. So, but looking forward to it. So, hopefully it will be a bit warmer than it is right now in Fairbanks.
Alright.
Alan, are you there?
Heard someone else beep in. Guess not. So. Alright, thanks. Alright, thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan at this time?
What are we going to... So, do we understand exactly what they're marking us off on regarding the budget? Like, have we gotten clarification from that and how we can make sure we're meeting their needs?
Yes. So, here is the... scoring rubric, and under budget, if you see under budget, you can get points. You know, so we have 0 points under the budget, but then below that, it says, you know, we're collecting revenue, but we're not meeting our budget. We don't have a realistic budget, and I believe our budget historically has been fairly consistent and realistic. You know, each year, the city traditionally has a transfer in from the general fund a little bit to cover any shortfall, but that's common practice, especially in smaller communities. So it's, I'm not sure what the disconnect is from that.
Okay.
So even if we had the 10 points that I believe we should be getting, that takes us to 82, which is, you know, definitely top, about top, I would say it puts us about top 10%.
Okay.
Well, I mean, 90 is just an unheard of score, basically. There's communities that struggle to get.
Would it be like, if, since it's an enterprise, it is an enterprise fund for a water or sewer, correct?
Yes.
So, like, if we were not meeting at, like, the projected revenue, like, matching with revenue for cost, that would be the markdown?
Right. If there's a really big disconnect between what we were spending on it and what we're bringing in, like, you know, 25, 30, 50%, that'd be a concern. But our budget is pretty realistic. We're not claiming, oh, we're going to bring in $500,000 when we're bringing in, you know, $27,000.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Austin. Any other questions or comments for Jordan at this time? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to the next report, which is Department of Public Safety with Police Chief Jeff Thompson.
Good evening, everyone. One thing that's often is just express my thanks for everybody being so welcoming here with my arrival. Last month, in February, we had one person jailed, one DUI, 26 calls to 911, 5 missed dial, pocket dial, 10 MOC requests, 5 EMS, 5 ambulance needed, 5 medevac, 1 noise complaint, 4 agency assist, 1 trespass, 1 disturbance, 6 911 calls, hang-ups, 4 welfare checks. Calls outside of 911 means someone walked in the office or they may have called Ms. Kathy on the telephone. 1 document served, 1 disturbance, 4 welfare checks, 1 civil issue, 1 security check, 1 suspicious circumstance, 1 trespass, and 4 agency assists. I would like to touch on the prior 3, before I got here 3 weeks ago to start my first rotation, myself and John Young, who's been with the department about 8 months, and Benjamin Allen, all attended the State of Alaska research training. That's a 3-week course that you have to take if you work outside of the state or if you are an Alaska certified peace officer and you're you're not working in Alaska for 3 years as a peace officer. So we all completed that. It was about 180 something hours of training. Good experience to go through that. Picked up a lot. The only other item that I've got is on, and I gave Jada a copy of this to get whoever needs one. On the 28th of stop for the Sandpoint Airport exercise. This is a review of airport emergency plan. This is a good opportunity for assessment of the airport's emergency response plan, and also a good opportunity for the network, those on the island, the decision makers, the folks that are responding. The next day at 10 a.m., they'll be having a briefing on how that training went. So she's got the notice, so we'll get it to wherever it needs to go to. But we'll have someone from the police department attend. That's it. Thank you all.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Any questions or comments? Jeff?
I'm aboard.
Jordan?
Yeah, so just to clarify, the Equipment Academy, officers can work for up to one calendar year without being certified, but the certification class is only held for training, only held once per year. That's why the one officer, John, hadn't been yet. It was just only offered in February. So that's
all right, thanks, Jordan. All right, thanks, Jeff. All right, we'll move on to our next report, which would be Public Works. Yeah. And with Public Works Director Julius Carlson.
Good evening. For February, snow most of the month, so we're just plowing, standing roads. Bad weather, we were inside housekeeping and stuff a bit. Place plow blade edges on the sand truck, and I got a quote for tires and ordered tires from the sand truck. Service public safety, city town hall, up the fuel in the buildings, the shop, changed the alternator on the last one vehicle, fixed our shop door, worked on tire chains, filled our water tank at the shop. And the septic system went down, so we brought a port light down to them and repaired and reinstalled the stop sign that was run over about 3 days.
All right, thanks, Julia. Any questions or comments for Julia?
I do, and I should have brought this up in the workshop, but went on a little ride this weekend, and I noticed, and I don't know if this is coming into, so it's not for me now. Went up to the new dump, and you know, just things are blowing around, and you know, people aren't really doing what they're supposed to do. I was wondering if you know, you get up there with your stuff, and if your dump isn't open, they're just throwing their stuff out. I was wondering if the dumpster where they're throwing some stuff might be, and then maybe some signs or something that says, you know, don't put your carpet and your old water heater and stuff. This is not the place to dump. They're dumping it over where all that, you know, brush and stuff is. So, I don't know. It was just a thought. It's been a mess before, but this is probably the worst I've seen it. I didn't know if that was something that we could. And then I was thinking also maybe something when we put out the bills for our, maybe put a little letter or something in there and say, you know, I know that if I was doing some kind of project in my house, and I said, hey, Julie, can you bring me a dumpster? You bring me a dumpster. But I don't know if other people know that. Maybe something there about, you know, saying don't dump your garbage, your trash. You know, that's really not a people see it thing. Oh, I think we can dump our mattress here. And, you know, something maybe that we're not telling the public that this is not okay to do that there. So, I mean, it's just all in all over the place. Just a thought. That was just my thought.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, signage would be good, but
something maybe well, something
that reads up there. People should know shouldn't have their washer and dryer.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? Julius? I think that's where we were. Yeah, okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the Water and Sewer Supervisor, Dylan Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Want to report from Water Sample Design. was out of town for the Board of Fish meeting. Brandon covered the water plant. When I flew back, our RMW remote maintenance worker, Matthew Russell, flew with me on the 27th for a site visit. He's here for the kids. Set up a port body down at Pier 10. We had a weather event with rain and snow melt that made our turbidity go high and shut the plants off for a night. Had some issues with the air and the pouring line a couple times. Yeah, scheduled 4 a.m. power outage when I was gone. And Brandon was at the plant to share when we came back online. Discussed our new lead service line location deadlines and requirements of DEC. I'll communicate with them. Did some research on the locating tool for my help with DCI if I'm here. Backwashed and did routine maintenance and water plant.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Any questions or comments for Dylan?
Well, I was thinking about the power outage again. Is the equipment designed to handle sudden losses of power supply, or do we have, like, things that kind of account for that?
Not really. Once everything goes back off, our concern is that as soon as it comes back on, our pump gets back on and we have water hammer.
Yeah.
It could cause major damage to the plant. We kind of have a slow startup, so if we have
is there equipment we could have that would protect against that? Things that might, you know, like some sort of like program that could do a controlled turn on?
Not as far as I know.
Thanks for getting our DEC score up. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Austin. Thanks, Amy. Any other questions for Billy? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Billy. Okay, we'll move on to the next report, which is the Harbor Master, Alan Kuchinoff.
Hello, everyone. For the month of February, delivered some oil to Public Works, prepared, did some maintenance on one of the gales, took the fire boat out, did just the controls, filled it up. All the launch, a couple boats, and we did snow removal, cleaned up around the harbor, and made a payment for the camera guys to come in and camera system. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Any questions or comments for Alan? All right. Hearing none. Thank you, Alan. Good question. Move on to the next order of business. There's hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. And the first is Resolution 2305. A resolution of the City of Sandpoint supporting participation in the Denali Commission grant funding up to so do we have a motion to adopt the 2305 resolution of the City of Sandpoint supporting participation in the Denali Commission grant funding opportunity?
Do we need to do this and sort of bring it to the table and then we can address language?
Yeah.
All right, I'll make a motion to adopt.
Motion by.
Yeah.
We have a motion by Austin. Do you have a second?
Second.
Second by Arlene. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So before council is Resolution 2305, a resolution of the City of Sandpoint supporting participation in the Denali Commission grant and funding opportunity. The Denali Commission opened up a funding opportunity for projects that generally fall under the Denali Commission purview, which is health, sanitation, community development projects, fuel farms, and such in rural Alaska. So in order to participate, the Denali Commission wants to see evidence of public support for this, as well as the inclusion of the project on the Capital City CIP list. So this resolution, having gone through the public process, would indicate support, as well as council support and acknowledgement
mention that any grant application would require a 50% local match. The source of the local match can be pretty much, when they say local match, they mean not federal, not the non-commissioned funds. So it could come from the bingo fund, it could come from an anonymous benefactor, it could come from a tribal partner, it could come from a health partner. So they're not picky on the exact source of the resolution or the funding. So we had, you know, for discussion last meeting, we had planned to apply for funding to request funds to purchase a new incinerator. However, in the interim, Paul Harbor Tribe graciously offered to donate up to $250,000 for the purchase of a new incinerator. So if council wants to go that route, then I would suggest that the city apply for funding or funds to get a new trash truck or garbage truck that's identified on the FP list that comes up next in the packet. The trash truck has a finite lifespan. It's coming towards the end of it. It's expensive repairs, a lot of downtime, parts and labor to it, delays in pickup. The solid waste never ends. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And if that goes down for an extended time frame, then it's going to be extremely uncomfortable and challenging for Public Works solid waste department. So, the rough estimate right now for a decent use or nice use, a serviceable use trash truck is about $250. They're not cheap, and there's issue of style. Most of the newer style trash trucks have that robot arm that goes out and gets the bins, whereas ours is designed with the bigger dumpsters in mind. So there's just less of the style that we'd be looking for. There's just fewer out there now. But I know that the public system, scouring the internet for alternative replacement vehicles. So, if council thinks this is a good shift, you pass this resolution and then I go back, adjust what's on the grant, and then submit this resolution with the grant paperwork and other things before the April 14th commission deadline.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Paul Harbor Tribe. That's amazing. Really appreciative of that. And I think it's a good idea to go for the solid waste vehicle. I think that's something we're going to need.
Thanks, Amy. Any other? Need more for confirmation to move forward with that process, or we're all agreed? All right. No further questions. Roll call, please, Jade.
Jack?
Are you there, Jack?
Hello, now. You can hear me now.
Yes.
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Okay. We'll move on to the next item of business. This is Resolution 2306, the resolution of the City of Sandpoint establishing the capital improvement project list. Again, we'll ask for a motion to adopt Resolution 2306. Resolution of the City of Sandpoint establishing the capital improvement project.
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2306
of
the City of Sandpoint establishing the capital improvement project.
A motion by Arlene. You have a second?
I will second.
Second by Amy. I'll send the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Resolution 2306 would revise the existing CIP list for the City of Sandpoint.
having the CIP list is important when applying for funds. It shows that the community needs have gone through a public review, and it's a clear list of community priorities when it comes to capital projects. Having a CIP list is not a guarantee of receiving funding, but it's something that funding agencies look for when applying for funds. The CIP list is not a one-time done deal. It's something that should be reviewed periodically as the city's needs change and grow. If this was adopted, I believe, back in November, the most recent version, in that time, the city's addressed the building rehab and then the need for the upgrade vehicle has since arisen and become much more important. So what we have now on there are the five things. You can have as many as you want, but five for now is standpoint culvert dam and repair, incinerator replacement, the foot version road bridge rehabilitation. Those are rank 3 and 4. You could argue either one could be 3 or 4. And then number 5 is public works and equipment replacement. So that's a bit of a broader term, but that would include this solid waste vehicle. So if council approves resolution 2306, this latest one would be included in the application for the development.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? All right. Seeing none. Roll call, please, Steve.
Marita?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Armin?
Yes.
Zach?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Okay. Move on to the next item of business is old business. And we have one item, the GCI building permit application. And we'll go with them. We have a motion to accept the GCI building permit application. Motion by Arlene. Do we have a second?
I'll
second. Second by Marita. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this was reviewed at the last council meeting. However, there was quite a few questions about the techniques that GCI was going to use to install the fiber in the community. And again, I'm using GCI as sort of a broad term, and there's subsidiaries and subcontractors, so we'll just get GCI for clarity's sake. One of the main concerns was trenching across roads. We don't have ready access to high-quality pavement in the community. So I spoke with them. Well, actually, I spoke with Unalaska First to get insight on how things are going down there. That's the first stage of their installation. So there's some teaming going on and what we can learn from their lessons down there. So they're not going to be cutting across any pavement. They have a machine that can bore horizontally underneath the roads, so that's great news. So they've also proposed daily and weekly meetings with Public Works to map out a locate schedule for the upcoming day or week. That'll cut out any accidental cuts to utilities, as well as everybody will be on the same page, hopefully. And then I did pass along the name of Dennis McLashin to GCI. He has quite a bit of experience with the city and very knowledgeable on the utility locations. So if we can get some local hire going, somebody who's knowledgeable, it'll save GCI time and money. It'll save the city time and money. So everybody wins that way. And then as to the issue of reclamation, I know there's some questions and dissatisfaction in the community when they did the initial water to land station, connection last spring. So they do have plans to break and reseed just around where possible. They only need to replant the alders, though, if there are any. And another thing is, Alaska do require a $250,000 performance bond. It's fairly standard in construction projects. It protects the purchaser of a service. So if the city were to pay somebody to do the harbor improvements, we'd require them to get a performance bond in case they collapse or there's a lawsuit
you $200 a month or something. But it's just like that. So they're not having to pay all that money up front. It's just, you know, they're bonded. So I would know that they're going to start the Earth station and then move towards the loop and then simultaneously move down towards older parts of the community. They will run fiber all the way to the Harbor House and then from the Harbor Access Road down to about where Peter Pan starts. That would just be above ground along the telephone lines. It's quicker, it's faster. There's no real, it's called trenching territory, and there's no real need to do that. So then once we get down to the Peter Pan area and the airport lot, that would be, again, underground.
Jordan, any questions or comments? Jordan, at this time? All right, seeing none. Roll call, please, Jake.
Amy?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to the next order of business, which is new business. We have one item, which is donation request for the Janice Shrapalop Memorial Easter Egg Hunt. So, okay, so.
Do you have questions?
No, not really. So, do we have a motion to accept the donation request for the.
I make a motion to.
For,
yeah.
For $400.
For $400.
Can we have a motion by Amy?
Yep.
Second by Austin. All right, roll call, please, Jade.
Marisa?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yep.
All right, motion carried. That concludes our business. We'll move on down to public comments. Can we have public comments at this time? Hearing none.
Just real quickly, another FYI, the ferry booking is now available for this upcoming season. In the past, they have explicitly said that they would set aside a certain amount of space for passengers traveling beyond Kodiak. You know, the Hobart Kodiak route's pretty popular, and you know they're always afraid that that'll get booked, and then nobody can get from Kodiak down the chain. They didn't mention that this year, so it may be, I don't know if they're going to still do that. So if you need to book, now's definitely the time to do it. So just wanted to keep in mind.
Okay, thanks. So, any other public comments? Hearing none, move on to council comments. Council comments at this time.
I know the borough had their strategic planning session, and you know, you guys were able to go to that. I think it would be wise for us to consider doing something maybe not as large on scale, but similar to update our strategic plan. So I think now you guys have the experience of that. It's time for us to consider doing the like putting a date down at some point, so that way we can support ourselves to it.
Okay, thanks. Any other comment? I'd like to make one. I'd like to thank the Pawlak Harbor for the, I guess they covered the cost of the burn box at this point, which we were having a hard time. It took us a couple years. We do have a few projects in town, and it's actually a great help. You know, we are actually trying to accomplish a few things we can't afford, so I'd like to say thank you to them for that. Any other council comments? Hearing none, we'll go to adjournment. We have a motion to adjourn. We have a motion by Arlene. And a second by Marita. We are adjourned at 7:44.